right after the international news.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Tyson Fury retained his title over the weekend when he knocked out Deontay Wilder in the 11th round in Las Vegas, Nevada. In a classic slugfest, both men were knocked down in the early rounds. Near the end of the third round, Fury caught Wilder with a right hook to the head, followed by a right uppercut that sent Wilder to the canvas. But Wilder came right back in the fourth round and twice floored Fury. But Fury showed he has the heart of a champion. He got up both times and took control of the fight in rounds 6, 7, 8, and 9 as Wilder appeared to tire. In round 10, Fury landed another right hand that sent Wilder to the canvas for a second time. About a minute into round 11, Fury landed a right to Wilder's head that caused the challenger to collapse to the canvas. Referee Joe Mora immediately called a stop to the bout, speaking in the ring after the epic battle. Tyson Fury had this to say.
You know, it was a great fight tonight. It was worthy of any trilogy in the history of the sport. You know, I'm not going to make any excuses. Wilder's a top fighter. He gave me a real run for the money tonight. And I always said, I'm the best in the world and he's the second best. You know, he's got no love for me, Deontay Wilder, because you know why? Because I beat him 3 times. And it's like, I'm a sportsman. I went over to him to show some love and respect and he didn't want to give it back. So that's his problem. I'll pray for him so God will soften his heart. But you know what? I want to thank everybody in this building tonight who came out to show love for my sport, boxing. Thank you to every man, woman and child in the building tonight. Great fight. October 9th, 2021. We'll go down to history as a great fight, I hope, anyway.
For reaction to Tyson Fury's victory, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the former heavyweight champion of Nigeria's Rivers State, the big John Senebo.
Oh, yes. Once again, Tyson Fury has proven that as far as the heavyweight division of professional boxing is concerned, he is unstoppable. I'd already predicted victory for him because I was very sure that Wilder couldn't stop him from becoming an undisputed heavyweight boxing champion of the world. And he has proven just that. I had known. This is the very first time he will defend his WBC heavyweight title against any opponent. And this is one place that is lacking in his CV. This is one place where the CV is defective, and that is exactly what he has done.
Can you tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners the secret behind Tyson Fury's victory in this third fight?
The secret to his power is the fact that he fights rugged. He fights more like a street fighter. We have seen a street fighter in Tyson Fury with uncommon stamina. The ability for him to recover after a knockdown is what keeps him going. He's the type of guy that would never lose weight, just like Anthony Joshua did against Oleksandr Usyk. He uses his weight, he uses his raw power against his opponent. We saw him coming down on Deontay Wilder a couple of times, and that is because of his weight. Tyson Fury is the kind of guy that would not lose weight.
Do you think Anthony Joshua can stand Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder if the opportunity comes?
Yes, of course, I do think Anthony Joshua may bounce back because Anthony Joshua has got that Nigerian spirit. Now, when Nigerians are down, that is the time they come back. A whole lot of people thought that after his loss to Andy Ruiz, he was going to lose again, but Anthony Joshua came back. He did not only beat Andy Ruiz to recover his heavyweight title, but he busted him wide open. Perhaps if Anthony Joshua could fight rugged the way he did with Dillian White, the way he came out strong against Vladimir Klitschko and Kubrat-Pulev, he might just withstand and might just be the one to beat or put a stop to the reign of the Gypsy King Tyson Fury.
Do you also think that Deontay Wilder will request for another fight against the Gypsy Man Tyson Fury?
Oh, yes, we may possibly see a fourth fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, but nobody will be interested in watching that fourth fight because it's very clear now that the Gypsy King Tyson Fury will continue to dominate Deontay Wilder, even if the both of them step into a boxing ring for the fourth time. The one fight most people want to see right now is to see if Anthony Joshua will be able to bounce back against Oleksandr Usyk. We've already known that April might be the date for the second fight, your rematch. That's the one fight everybody wants to see, so that we can see an undisputed heavyweight title fight, probably between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, the fight that was put up the last time. I really do not think that anybody will want to watch Tyson Fury for the fourth time going against Deontay Wilder. No, I don't think so. Let's wait and see what happens between Oleksandr Usyk and Anthony Joshua. Perhaps if Anthony Joshua recovers his heavyweight titles the way he did against Andy Ruiz, then we'll go ahead to see that undisputed fight the world has always expected and was expecting before it was put off. Two British heavyweight boxers. Let's hope and see what happens.
That's the big John Senebo, a boxing analyst and the former heavyweight champion of Nigeria's River State. And the big John spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sportings, greetings to you sports fans. This is John Senebo, a.k.a. the Big John, boxing analyst, boxing promoter, here in River State and former River State heavyweight boxing champion. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Keep it locked right here. Thank you.
Thank you, the Big John. In African men's football, the past week has been a busy one in the qualifying competition for next year's FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Samson Omale reports Madagascar picked up its first points in qualifying on Sunday.
Madagascar earned their first victory in the qualifiers for the Qatar 2022 FIFA World Cup with a hard-earned 1-0 victory over DR Congo on Sunday evening to revive faint hopes of battling for a ticket to the quadrennial showpiece. Prior to their home tie against Les Leopards, the Berea had lost three successive matches, including the first leg against the Congolese in Kinshasa last week, but they ensured they end some slight hope heading into the final two rounds of qualification matches. Group J is still open with Tanzania and Benin staying top with 7 points each, while Congo are third with 5 and Madagascar sit at the basement with 3. Meanwhile, at the National Heroes Stadium in Lusaka, Equatorial Guinea came from a goal down and held host Zambia to a 1-1 draw, a result that handed them reprieve as an opportunity to progress to the next round. At the same time, Cape Verde moved up to second in Group C with a slim 1-0 victory over Liberia at the Stade Municipal Adriato Siena in Mindelo. Ryan Mendes scored the lone goal at the stroke of full-time to take the Blue Sharks to 7 points. They are just 2 shy of leaders Nigeria Super Eagles, who earlier on beat Central African Republic 2-0. Liberia dropped to bottom of the group with just 3 points, but remain mathematically in contention with 2 rounds left.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. In another African World Cup qualifying result over the weekend, Ghana defeated visiting Zimbabwe 3-1. Joining us now from Ghana's capital, Accra, with a post-match report is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Black Stars of Ghana at the weekend defeated their Zimbabwean counterparts, the Warriors, by 3-1 in their Group G FIFA World Cup qualifier at the Cape Coast Sports Stadium. Ghana's Kudus Mohammed of Ajax Amsterdam got the opener in the 6th minute, and that brought cheers to the 4,000 Ghanaian fans officially allowed to watch the Cape Coast game last Saturday. The Warriors, sensing danger after conceding the early goal, raised the tempo of the game and pressed for equalizer till the 49th minute, when their attacker was brought down in the 18 box and a penalty was awarded. Warriors striker Knowledge Musoma elected himself and put the ball to the blind side of Ghana's keeper.
Yeah, it was a good feeling, obviously, because it was an equalizer. And we were back in the game. And we know our weakness at this moment, that we haven't been scoring goals. So it gives us also confidence in the next coming games, and also to improve on scoring in open play, not only penalties. So it's something that we have to work on, and I think we got now a goal. We have to take it from there and try to improve in the next coming games.
The Ghanaians regained their strength after the equalizer, and in the 66th minute, the Black Stars, through Arsenal midfielder Thomas Partey, restored their lead. And the skipper of Black Stars, Andrew Ayew, scored in the 87th minute to seal the scoreline to 3-1. Skipper of Zimbabwe, Knowledge Musoma.
We are going to fight until the end, and we are playing for our national team. It's our pride. Whatever results or points that we end up with, we make sure we are going to give our opponents hard time to win and to play games. So it's not over yet. If we win the next two games, we could be also on 7 points. So it's still on until the end.
The Black Stars and the Warriors traveled yesterday to Zimbabwe for the return fixture scheduled for tomorrow, Tuesday, at Harare International Sports Stadium. In the other Group G qualifier, South Africa got a 2-1 away win over Ethiopia on Saturday in Addis Ababa. South Africa is now on top of Group G table with 7 points. Ghana second with 6 points. Ethiopia has 3 points, and Zimbabwe on the bottom with a point. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Fori reporting.
Thanks, Kwabena. Kwabena mentioned how Kudus Mohammed scored Ghana's first goal in the 3-1 victory over Zimbabwe. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawafusu Larbi profiles Kudus, 21 years old, and he's based in the Netherlands. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Kudus Mohammed shot into prominence when he moved to Ajax Amsterdam from FC Nordjylland last summer in a transfer that was well talked about in Ghana. Kudus grew up in Accra's slum community, Nima, where he played for the Strong Tower Football Club. He was roped into the exceptional scouting process at the Right to Dream Academy, where he spent most of his childhood until he moved to Denmark as a teenager. Mohammed has become one of the most sought-after young players in Europe. I asked how that makes him feel.
Obviously, it's good to hear all of those stuff, but I put a lot of pressure on myself every single day to become a better player. So that's the most pressure I feel every single day. It's an open sport, so there's a lot of opinions and people have their says. Most of the pressure I get is from inside, pushing myself to be better every single day.
Kudu's first season at the Dutch Giants was not exceptional. He was hit with an injury in his first Champions League game against Liverpool, an injury that messed up his head in many ways. But Kudus says the setback spurred him on to become better and come back stronger in the season.
Going forward, I've taken a lot of lessons from this, and it's very needed in my journey as a footballer as well.
So. Well, in all of the ups and downs, you still won a medal.
Yeah. Very important. You know? Yeah. As we play football, we play for medals and stuff like that. So it feels very good to get my first medal as a football player, and it encourages me to do more every single day. I'm strong religiously, and I really believe in God. Everything that happened, I give thanks to him, because I believe it could have been worse. So I give thanks to God in all situations. So, yeah. But like I said, there was a lot of lessons in the recovery, rehab, and a lot of...
What kind of lessons?
That was my first serious injury in football. So okay. That was the first time I had to stay out of football for a long time. Normally, when you play week in, week out, you don't really get time for other aspects of your life, you know, you just focus on football. But when you're out of the pitch, you get time to study other aspects of your life, family and stuff. So when I was out of the pitch, I really improved on my other aspects of my life as well, which you learn a lot that it's not just about football. There's more to life than just football, you know.
Representing your country is an integral part of every footballer's dreams. For many footballers, being able to sing your country's anthem at the start of a major tournament means more than anything, and for Kudus, it is no different. He says it is an opportunity he doesn't take lightly.
We're preparing for the World Cup qualifier, so every game we play from today is very serious. So it all starts from today. So
what does it mean for you, the Black Stars?
It's an honor for every player, you know. The whole of Ghana, this is the senior national team, so getting the opportunity to represent the country at this, at the highest level is a privilege. So it's an opportunity. I don't joke with.
Ghana may have produced many football talents, from Abedi Pele to Asamoah Gyan, but the new star, the man many are talking about to replace the greats, is Kudus Mohammed. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Now let's go to Uganda, which defeated neighbor Rwanda to keep alive its hopes of securing a first-ever berth at the FIFA World Cup football tournament. Joining us now from Kampala is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty Monday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Monday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. For the second time in 1 week, Uganda Cranes defeated Rwanda's Amavubi Stars by 1-0 score margin to consolidate the second spot in Group E of the CAF World Cup qualifiers and also maintain the South African derby bragging rights. And as if using the same script from last Thursday's encounter in Kigali, Benjamin Fahad Bayo, who plays for FC Ashdod in Israel, wasted no time to score of left-back Isaac Malemi's corner kick on the 22nd minute of the game, scoring his second goal of the campaign in just 2 games. Vincent Mashami is the Amavubi tactician.
We were 1-0 down in the first half, but again in the second half, I would be thankful to the boys for the display. I think we dominated actually the whole 45 minutes and some parts of the first half. Yeah, so if you look at 2 games, I think we were a better side. But again, what matters most in such big games is what comes in the 90 minutes. So the Ugandans made it better, so they were decisive, they were, you know, objective. Yeah, big congrats to them.
Mashami says we'll use the remaining 2 games to rebuild his team.
The games which are remaining and the points we've lost, I think it will be very hard to say that we can get to the next stage. Yeah, so our next plans, I think we are going back to the drawing board to see what we went wrong. Yeah, try to organize ourselves, because now we have conceded badly, but again, we know football is a process. I think we, like I said earlier on, we will bounce back. I think it's a matter of, you know, accepting that we lacked some consistency, we lacked some aggressivity in the final third. So I think we need to get back our boys to the best level for us to compete to the top level.
His counterpart, Mirutin Michos Rodovic, attributed the victory to a solid defense. He said his team, comprised of mainly home-based players, is a growing team.
It has simply shown whatever I have told to players before the match, that the first match that we need to play is match against ourselves. Second, against the tricky, unpredictable nature of the game of football. And third match against very good team of Amavubi. Under such a circumstances, we started very well. We opened the scoring. We are fully aware that we are leading. Subconsciously, in the players' head, dropped back, allowing opponent to come at us. Very disappointed with that approach, because we were really sitting very deep and allowing opponent several set pieces. But in the same moment, extremely proud with the fact that we are with Morocco only team in Africa that has not conceded a goal in 4 matches of World Cup qualifiers.
Micho and the Cranes' next task will be another challenging East African derby in November against Kenya's Harambee Stars, whom he termed as Paris Spoilers.
Our plan is very simple. We are already now forgetting about this match, and we are playing match against Kenya. Match against Kenya is always a thrilling match, especially here with us, because for them are masters of party spoiling. Masters of party spoiling 2011, when they played 0-0 playing in favor of Angola, they have been sportsmen and they tried their the best and they kept 0-0. Uganda failed that time. So we have so many things to show to each other. For us, we take one match at a time. We fully focus on Kenya game. In the same moment, with one eye, with peripheral vision, we shall look towards Mali, and team that is absolute favorite in a way, what kind of players are having and where they are playing.
Uganda sports reporter Grace Linzembabazi said she watched a very entertaining encounter.
Especially Uganda, they had a very exciting first half because it's a team of young players. He has tried to work and bring in these young players. If you watch the game, you could see that some of the under 20 players like Aziz Kayondo, Bobos Biaruhanga were part of the team. You also had these hardworking players, very young, energetic in Steven Mukwala, among others. I believe there is something they are trying to build. They are trying to actually build a good, strong team of young players. Gwanda, I believe they've had actually very solid. They had a very, very, very exciting game, very good game.
No East African country has ever played at the World Cup. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakanjini, Kampala, Uganda.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with more football news. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with the reigning World Cup champions from France. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. French star of Algerian descent Karim Benzema and his fellow countryman of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe both registered their names on the score sheet, earning world champions France a 2-1 victory against Spain in the 2021 UEFA Nations League finals played in Milan. Real Sociedad winger Mikel Oyarzabal had put Spain ahead in the second half, but Le Bleu had the last laugh. France are now the only second team to win the Nations League after Portugal won the inaugural tournament played in 2019. Sonny, Manchester United fans won't like this at all. The French defender Raphaël Varane came off injured during the match and was replaced by French footballer of Guinea-Bissauan descent Dayo Tupamecano. The 28-year-old has featured in 6 of United's games this season. His injury complicates matters for Laguna Social's plans following the absence of English defender Harry Maguire, who's out with a calf problem. The Red Devils will next be in action on Saturday when they face Leicester City at the King Power Stadium in the Premier League. Earlier on, the reigning Euro 2020 winners, Italy, took third place in the Nations League after earning a 2-1 win against Belgium in Turin, thanks to goals from Nicolo Barella and Domenico Berardi. Belgium will consider themselves quite unlucky to have lost the match after hitting the woodwork thrice, before Club Brugge midfielder Charles de Ketelera pulled a goal back. The Red Devils played without their frontman of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku, Thomas Fouque, and Real Madrid playmaker Eden Hazard, who all pulled out of the Belgian squad after sustaining injuries. Belgium boss Roberto Martinez had earlier touched on the injury he was facing his team during the pre-match press conference.
Yes, we had obviously Eden Hazard and Romelu Lukaku in a very similar way. Both they got overload in the muscles in different areas. And unfortunately, we didn't have the facilities in the camp here to be able to work and the way that we like to work with our medical people. So we had to send them back and release them from camp, and we'll work in Belgium with them to try to get them fully ready for their clubs as soon as we can. But then Thomas Fouquet is a completely different situation. He's been released with an injury in his calf area, and it's an unfortunate moment because he got injured during the warm-up against France. And Thomas has gone back to his club in France to try to get a speedy recovery.
That's Belgium's national team coach Roberto Martinez's pre-match press conference right before his team lost to Euro 2020 winners Italy during the UEFA Nations League tournament. The former Everton boss's contract expires in 2022, and failure to win a trophy with his quote-unquote golden generation team, that also includes Manchester City's playmaker Kevin De Bruyne and Real Madrid shortstopper Thibaut Courtois, will be viewed by many as a failure. The Belgians have topped the FIFA world rankings for over 3 years, but remain the only national team to top the rankings without winning a major trophy. England stars, both of Nigerian descent, Bukayo Saka and Tammy Abraham, James Ward-Prowse, Jack Grealish and Ben Chilwell were all on target as England cruised to a comfortable 5-0 victory against Andorra in their World Cup qualifier played on Saturday. England boss Gareth Southgate had nothing but praise for his squad.
What I like about this group is that whatever the challenge, whatever the environment that they're put into, they don't make any excuses. We find a way to win the games, and I thought we used the ball really well. We showed good discipline because, again, you know, one of the ways the opponent has a chance is if they get you down to 10 men, and there were plenty of flash points where we could have reacted in the wrong way. So in the main, we did that well. But the quality of our play was really good, and we picked a team, of course, to manage the whole squad, but also with profile of players in certain positions that we knew would be well suited to getting in between their defence and midfield, and also good in the one against one situations wide. So really pleased with both the quality and the application of all the players.
There was England's boss Gareth Southgate's post-match press conference following his team's win against Andorra in their World Cup qualifying group. In other World Cup qualifying fixtures, Sweden served Kosovo 3-0 with the forward of Eritrean descent Alexandra Isak scoring a wonder goal to lift the Swedes to within a point of Spain in their group. Scotland brushed aside Israel 3-2. Switzerland beats Northern Ireland 2-0, while Germany cruised past Romania 2-1. Poland also hammered San Marino 5-0, with former Arsenal goalkeeper Lukas Fabianski bidding an emotional farewell to international football, as players from both sides gave the 36-year-old West Ham shortstopper a guard of honour. Fabianski earned 57 caps for his country and has represented his nations at 5 major tournaments, including the 2006 and 2018 World Cup events. 5-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo scored his 112th international goal to help Portugal cruise to a 3-0 win against 2022 World Cup host Qatar in Saturday's friendly game. The Portuguese star opened the scoring with a close-range finish in the 37th minute, before Lille centre-back Jose Fonte added a second 3 minutes into the second half. RB Leipzig striker Andres Silva sealed the victory in the last minute of the game. It was the Manchester United star 181st international appearance, with the record breaker surpassing Sergio Ramos as the most capped European international player. The Seleção resumed their World Cup qualifying bid on Tuesday when they host Luxembourg, currently lies second in Group A, a point behind Serbia, but with a game in hand. Ronaldo's record-breaking antics come after a federal judge in Nevada recommended the civil case alleging the Manchester United forward committed a sexual assault should be dismissed. Catherine Mayorga had claimed the Portuguese player committed the offense in a Las Vegas hotel in 2009, shortly before his record transfer to Real Madrid. CR7 has always maintained that the encounter with the former model and school teacher was consensual. Meanwhile, injury-riddled United States men's national football team suffered their first ever World Cup qualifying loss against Panama, thanks to Anibal Godoy's 54th-minute header in a match that was played at the Romel Fernandez Gutierrez Stadium in Panama City. The U.S. were playing without Chelsea playmaker Christian Pulisic and Borussia Dortmund attacking midfielder Gio Reyna, and now second, level with Panama on 8 points. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Last week, I gave a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Mike Conley, the 1992 Olympic champion in the men's triple jump. This evening, let's give another birthday salute to Mike's son, Mike Conley Jr. The younger Conley is a point guard for the National Basketball Association's Utah Jazz team, and he's celebrating his 34th birthday on this Monday. Mike Conley Jr. has played 14 seasons in the NBA, and last season, he played in the NBA All-Star Game for the first time in his career. Happy birthday, Mike Conley Jr. And And that wraps up the October 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.